When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the coolest... that's YouTube. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's Canine Educator, the podcast where we love, live, and, of course, work with dogs. How the heck is everybody doing? It's been a while. I apologize for that, but not really, because there's a lot of good reasons why I haven't been on the pod, but I am on today, so I'm going to do the best I can to catch you guys up. I have been on the road for, since the middle of April. So I've been on the road for a while, almost 2 months, just traveling. First thing I did is I did 4 or 5 weeks in my van, lived in my van for 4 or 5 weeks out west. What an incredible experience. I'm not going to go into too much detail because it was obviously a long period of time, but it was a life-changing experience. The first time I lived in a van was like 3 days in Oregon, or four or five days in Oregon with my buddy, also dog trainer Forrest Mickey. And it was just life-changing to be able to just, you know, you get tired, you pull over, you eat some food and go to bed, and then just wake up and grab a cup of coffee at a local gas station and just keep going. Really just the freedom of that motivated me to build my own van, and I got one. It's a 3500 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, extended, dually, completely decked out. It has a kitchen, it has a bed, it has multiple tables, it has storage, it has lights, LED lights, it has a heater that actually is like a customized heater that for the van, and it's all solar operated. So it's a pretty decked out thing. It's pretty nice inside. If you guys haven't seen pictures, you can go to my Instagram at Tom Davis to check it out to give you a visual. But that's what I did for like 4 to 5 weeks. I drove out to Denver by myself with my dogs, and the first night was miserable. I was like, what the hell am I doing? I'm like, I don't need to do this. And I think that that's why I did it, is because I wanted to put myself in an uncomfortable position to grow myself as a human being. I think that that's like the biggest thing that I took from it, was the fact that, like, you know, on a daily operational thing, I'm so comfortable with everything. And most people are, like, you're in your house, you go to work, you come home, whatever. And I do travel a lot for work, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, of how I do that and what it's become now where it was before. But, you know, I think just putting yourself out there with nothing and by yourself really grows you as a person. And that's what I wanted to do, is I just wanted to have that experience to live off the land, if you will, and really just explore the beautiful country that we live in. And I did. So the first night, I was like, it was the first time I cooked in there, so I have a stove and everything. Like, it's legit. It's like a mini house. And, you know, like, tripping over myself, tripping over the dogs, like, not knowing, like, where to dump the water, like, all that stuff. Stuff that you just wouldn't think about. I was like, man, this kind of sucks. And then I was like, but, you know what? It's cool at the same time. So I stayed at a lot of KOAs, just because I never knew really where I was going to end up, which is the cool freedom of living out of the van of... It's just so cool, and it gets me excited even thinking about it, to do it again, to just go. That's it. You just have a destination. You don't have a timeline. You just go. and that's what it was for me. And so like I'd stay at a KOA because they're super dog friendly and they're really, really nice. For those of you who don't know what KOA is, it's basically a franchise Campgrounds of America, it's called. And you can check in after hours and it's super dog friendly and they're really, really, really nice. I mean, we're talking like 4-star hotel nice as far as the amenities go. They have Wi-Fi, they have extremely nice showers and bathrooms and lounges and pools and barbecue. I mean, they're really nice. So I stayed there just because it's a safe place to park. And that was probably the hardest thing to do living out of the van with my dogs was finding a safe place to park. When Forrest and I were in the hills or in the mountains or just in the backcountry, it was very easy to just pull off because it's super dark. We're shaded by the redwoods. I mean, nobody bothered you. But when you're on the road and you're on like the interstates and stuff, when I traveled on the interstates across the country, it's definitely challenging to find like a safe place to park because the last thing you want to, like the worst that's going to happen is somebody's going to wake you up, which I have a story about that. It's ridiculous because it did happen once and you should definitely listen for that because it was crazy. But like that's the last thing you want is like anxiety of like, if somebody come like bang on my doors and kick me out, you know, my dog's going to go nuts. I don't know. So anyway, so I went to Denver, stayed at some KOAs, super nice. I picked up my dad in Denver. I was born in Colorado Springs, for those of you who don't know. So I'm a Colorado native, which is few and far in between actually in Colorado now. So I picked my dad up in Denver. He flew in from Indiana, and we just went to the mountains. And I have a really strong passion for mountains. Just the vastness and the majestic feeling I get of being surrounded by gigantic mountains is something that I've always had in my blood, to be honest. Like, it's just something that I just have. And if you have it, you have it. And if you don't, you don't. You can't teach it. You can't learn it. You really can't understand it if you don't have it. It's just like such a feeling. It's just different. Like when you're in a big city, it's kind of cool because you're surrounded by big hustle and bustle. But when you're in the mountains and it's just like beautiful streams and evergreen trees and just mountains and snow, you know, it could be 90 degrees and there's still snow in the mountains. And it's, for me, it's just, I don't know. It's almost like being in a movie to me. It's just really, really cool. But anyway, so me and my dad traveled all over Colorado. We went to a lot of different places. Breckenridge, I've been vacationing there for like 15 years with my family. So that's a really cool place that I really enjoy. And I also own a Breckenridge Instagram account called Breck Dog Co., which hopefully in the future will become something more. But anyway, so I just really, really love Colorado in general. And we cruised around, lived in the van with my dad. Really cool experiences, you know, making campfires at night and grilling and just talking and just being together out of the van with my dogs in Colorado. It there's nothing more in life that, you know, I would ever want. That's just like my dream. And then basically we went to Tetons in Montana, I want to say. Jeez, it's a part of the Rocky Mountain Range, but the Tetons are in Wyoming, I'm sorry. So we went to the Tetons, and I've never been out that far west. And so when we went to the Tetons, it was like a game changer. I was like, holy crap. Very, very, very pretty in Wyoming. I have a lot of pictures on my Instagram, I'm sure you guys have seen. But the Tetons kind of like resemble the Swiss Alps. They're very spiky, like not like the normal Rocky Range, which are very bouldery and kind of rounded. But anyway, very beautiful land. And then we picked up my girlfriend Taylor at the airport. I flew her into the Tetons. So it was me, my dad, and my dog still. And it's the farthest out west that my dogs have been and I've been. And it was just an incredible experience to be surrounded by like everything that you could love with no worries, no stress, no timelines. It's the first time I've been off a schedule in a long time because even when I do travel, I did a podcast a couple months ago about, you know, I said I only take like 2 vacations a year and people were like, dude, that's not enough. But I also travel like 3 to 4 times a month and they're not necessarily vacations, but I mean, I love what I do and I get to go to cool places. So I do leave a lot, but this was a circumstance where I literally had no schedule at all, and that was pretty. It was a good feeling. I don't know how to explain it, but it was rejuvenating, I guess. So we picked up her, and then we hung out in the Tetons area, Wyoming area, for a day, and then we drove to Yellowstone National Park. And unfortunately, we were there during mud season, so there's good things and bad things to that. The good thing is like nobody was there. The bad thing was is a lot of things were closed. So there were certain roads and certain restaurants and bars and things like that that were closed because of mud season. It's basically a time where winter transforms into spring or summer. Basically, they're spring, and everything kind of closed down for a couple weeks. So it was good and bad. But anyway, we had to drive an additional 7 hours into Idaho and up to the northern part of Yellowstone. And it was like the first weekend or second weekend that they were open. And we went in there, and it was beautiful. For those of you who don't know what Yellowstone Park is, it's a national park that stretches over like 2 to 3 different states. Really cool. And there was just bison everywhere, and there was coyotes, and we saw all sorts of different animals. Didn't get to see any wolves because we only had one day there, unfortunately. But that was an incredible experience. And then we basically drove from the northern part of Yellowstone up by the Rockefeller Parkway, just like I think the most northern part of Yellowstone, and all the way down to Denver, which was like an 8-hour drive, which was a terrible idea because we left at like noon and we didn't get to Denver until like, I don't know, like 1:30 or 2 o'clock or something in the morning. So I got my dad a hotel because he was flying out the next day, and then Taylor and I stayed in the van in the hotel parking lot, and then we brought him to the airport and came back and showered and went for a run and did all that stuff. And then Taylor and I trekked out for the first time together in the van. That was really, really fun. We just hit a couple other spots and went back to Breckenridge, went into Colorado again, and shout out to the Airbnbs that held me up. Found some really cool Airbnbs in Breckenridge that we're really excited about. But anywho, so we stayed there, and then just tooled around a little bit for a couple days. I think we had like 7 days or 6 days before my seminar, and then I ended Denver trip with a seminar in Denver. So I flew out my videographer / photographer, Sean, and a longtime friend, went to high school together. You guys have seen his footage and films and stuff on my YouTube and on my Instagram. And so long story short, we had a really awesome time in Denver. Denver, thank you so much for the hospitality and everyone coming out. It was a sold out working spot /audit seminar. So we had 10 working spots, and then we had unlimited audits. I think we had like 25, 30 people a day, which was really, really fun. And it was definitely at its capacity. I don't think we could have fit one more person in the venue that we had. And I am 100% looking for another venue in Denver because we just outgrew this space. And so if anybody out there is listening that is in the Denver area that has a warehouse space or an area that we can rent out for the weekend, we want to do that again, but we can't do it until we get some space. And that goes for pretty much everybody. I guess I'll get into that next. But anyway, Denver seminar went awesome. We got a lot of great footage. We helped a lot of people, took a lot of pictures. It was really, really fun. And then I flew Sean home, and Taylor and I came back. I'll go into that in a second, I guess. But I do want to talk about when Taylor and I were coming back. So I'm going to talk about how we got woke up one day. It was crazy. So like I said about the KOAs, so when Taylor and I came back, we stayed at another KOA, and I think it was in Illinois. And so when you pull in at KOA at night, like, you really can't see much. Every KOA has like a welcome map after you sign in after hours and whatever. So you kind of like get a feel for where you're going to stay. And usually we just stay in like a tent spot because we just need a safe place to sleep. And then we're usually out before anybody's up in the morning. But so we're cruising around this KOA, right? And we're like, oh, there's like nobody down in this area. I wonder, like, let's just go down there. So we like tooled around up front, and there's like this little hill that goes down into this other area. And there's like nobody down there, which was probably like a sign of there's a reason. So we go down there. Long story short, I walk the dogs. Like, there's like a little stream behind us or whatever. Well, about, I woke up, I set my alarm for like 5 o'clock just to make sure that like we weren't in a bad spot or whatever, or maybe to find out the reason why nobody was down there. And we did. So basically at like 5, I set my alarm for 5, I think, and like 5:15, somebody's knocking at the door. I'm like, oh shit. Cause this is scary. Cause my van has, like privacy blinds. So like you can't see out. So when somebody's like knocking at your door at like 5 in the morning, you got your dogs, like it's just like startling, like for sure. You're like, holy crap. Like who is it? What is it? What am I going to do if it's good or bad? Like it's startling. Luckily this individual was awesome. She didn't say anything. She just was like waving me on, and little to my knowledge, my van was literally almost completely submerged up to like the tire well in water, and she like had huge like waders on, and she just knew like I'm gonna go wake this kid up or this person up, like I don't want to startle him, I don't want to yell at him, I just want to get him out of here. So she didn't even say anything. She just waved me on and like continued to walk up the hill and was like, "Yep, you probably didn't know." And we literally, I don't know what would have happened. I really don't. If it just kept rising, and I have a picture of it actually that I posted, and we literally were on the like literally on the freaking on the like in the water, like it was crazy. So anyway, I don't know what would have happened. Maybe the van would have started moving, I could have got out of there, I'm really not sure. But anyway, that was pretty scary. So that was the only time we ever got woken up on the trip. Luckily, no, you know, nothing bad happened, and the lady was super cool, and she basically just brought me up the hill and just navigated me to another spot and walked away and didn't say anything because she, like, knew, you know, whatever. So that was super cool of that lady. But anyway, that was pretty crazy. That was kind of scary. I was looking down after. I'm like, holy crap, that could have been really bad. Like, if she didn't wake up to come get us or she didn't see us or whatever, I don't know what would happen, but that was crazy. Basically, when we got home, my schedule just went crazy. My online stuff was crazy when I was on the road, because I forgot to block out my online stuff. So you can work with me online via FaceTime. I worked in like China and India and multiple different countries while I was on the road on an accident because I forgot to block out my stuff. So when I got home, my schedule was crazy online. I immediately got an opportunity and booked some private sessions with Logan Paul in LA. So we flew to LA and did some stuff with him. I was at his house for 3 days, working with him and his new dogs. Super cool guy. For those of you who don't know who Logan Paul is, he's an internet superstar, internationally, like super famous dude. Really, really cool dude. I liked him a lot. In the future, maybe we'll work together again. But I just did some tune-ups and got him on the right path with his puppies. So I did that. I came home. So immediately, like I was home for like 3 days, flew to LA. And then my schedule just got super crazy. Came home. I flew to Kansas City to work with Patrick Mahomes. I'm not a sports guy, but he is the MVP of the NFL. He's a really big deal. Had a lot of fun with him and his girlfriend, Brittany. Super cool people. Working with them for sure in the future with their dogs. And then I came home again, and now my schedule's filling up like crazy. I'm going to Miami. I'm going back out to LA. I'm going to San Diego. I'm going to a couple other places, and then I think we're booking right now for my travel into the fall. I know I'm going to Germany and a couple other places. So my schedule is crazy right now. So basically, I want to talk about that for a second. For those of you who are wondering how I do that, and then for those of you who are wondering how to book me, it's super, 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 super simple. Basically, I have an opportunity because my facility and my business is self-operating, which means I do not have to be there at all. Obviously, I am almost every day that I possibly can because I love what I do and I support my staff because they're freaking awesome. But that's what allows me to do that. How I get the jobs that I get is a lot of times through word of mouth and just putting your money where your mouth is. Social media has really helped me get all these different jobs. Like if you can go out there and literally put all of your cards on the table and say, look, this is what I am, this is what I do, I've been doing this for a long time, people like what you do, I think part of the reason why I get the majority of the jobs that I get is not only hold on a second. Lakota, Fooey, Platts. Day. Sorry guys, my dog literally loves to chase my cat and it's super annoying. Anyway, so I think like part of that to getting those jobs is, again, being skillful and talented at what you do being able to do things on the spot, and then also having the ability to work with strangers you don't know, and being comfortable with that, and then being comfortable with you. And I can tell you that it sounds all fun and dandy, but you don't realize, and I certainly didn't, you know, when I started doing these out-of-state stuff, you don't realize how difficult it is to go to somebody else's house and their environment and work with dogs that you don't know, around people you don't know, and in an environment you certainly don't know, and do work. It's challenged me as a dog trainer for sure, to be put in those situations, because these people, the majority of the like clients I was just talking about, literally can't go out in public. Like they just can't. They're that. That's the clout they have. And I think it's unfortunate for them the majority of the time, but I have to go to their house. And same thing with like working with politicians, like the governor and things like that. I'm always in his mansion because they can't go out. And so when you're there, you have to do things on the fly, on the spot, like no training tools, no equipment, no staff, not your own thing, no crates, nothing. You just work. And it's really created me to be super versatile. It's definitely helped me be a better trainer. And so it's not all fun and dandy, like, oh, you get there and train. And like, but you have to be, I mean, I'm not going to lie. And I'm definitely, I don't want you guys to take this the wrong way. I think you guys know me by now, like to just know that I just speak the truth and I'm transparent as possible. You have to be extremely skilled to be able to go into somebody else's house and get the results that make them be like, whoa, I want you to come back, or whoa, that was impressive. And that's what you have to do, because they're not going to call you back if you're not. And it's going to make, you know, situations look really awkward. You know, the people that, requested you or referred you to them, like you have to put on. And so there's a lot of chemistry that goes into making those things a success. And again, you know, I'm young, so a lot of the clients that I'm working with, I'm around their age. That's a huge advantage, considering like the majority of dog trainers are 40s and 50s and 60s. So those are a couple of things that play a role. Being able to actually, because if you go there and you can't like smash it, these are people that literally are begging, like so many people are begging to work with these types of people, and it's sad, but I mean, it's just the truth, guys. Like it just is, like that's just what happens. Like these people are so known and so famous, and everybody wants something from them, and it's a hard thing, it's a hard business to get into, but once you do, you gotta execute super hard. Like you gotta really do good, because if it's not like awesome, like that's what they're used to. There's the people that they hire for their services have to be the top of the line. So I would just say, if anybody gets an opportunity to work with like these type of apex people, which means they have a lot of people that are looking at them and they have a lot of clout on the internet, which is literally what currency is these days, you better be good at what you do, and you better be able to do a good job, because if you don't, you're never going to hear from them again. So that's my two cents on that. That's how I get these jobs, is to just, you know, work really hard, stay humble, prove yourself, and anything's possible. I'm going to go into detail a little bit later, maybe. And Logan and I have been talking the last couple of days about, you know, what we're going to do in the future. You know, what's going to be best for the dogs and things like that. But there, you know, maybe we'll meet up again in the future. Maybe I'll have him on the podcast and we'll talk about some stuff, because Logan's a really funny dude that a lot of people either love or hate that kid, it seems. But anyway, he's a super cool guy. And like I said, Patrick Mahomes is obviously really talented at what he does in the NFL. And anyway, so that's kind of how I get these jobs, is through referrals. The referral system that I have is basically people trust me. Like if their client or their friend or their colleague like has a dog problem, they're like, look no further. Call this dude. He will come and put on a clinic. And, you know, and I just super passionate about it. So that's how you get that stuff, guys. Just put your head down, work hard. If they don't come, that's okay. That means that, you know, it's probably a good thing. Like, because if you did get the opportunity and you went there and you completely got nervous and you couldn't train in that environment or whatever, that's totally okay. There's no problem with any of that. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, sometimes if you ask the universe for things and you get it and you're not prepared, it can really backlash on you. So after I've done that, so I just got back from, So like I said, I've been on the road for like forever, since the middle of April. I just got back, and my schedule right now is good for, like, I'm going to be at the facility for 2 weeks because one of my other trainers is getting married. I think that's the only reason why I'm planted at the facility, because, like I said, my inquiries and my out-of-states are booking up, like, more than we can keep up with, which I'm grateful for. But at the same time, like, you know, traveling can be stressful for multiple different reasons. You know, putting out fires back at the facility, you know, missing your dogs and your family and things like that. Like, it's not all rainbows and butterflies. But anyway, to book me is really easy. If you guys are seriously thinking about booking me either for a seminar or if you want me to just come hang out at your house and work with your dogs, I have a flat fee for both of those things for the majority of the time. If you pay those fees and it fits with your schedule, then that's pretty much how we book it. We really do have a filtered process of making sure, like, the people understand the expectations and they know who I am and you know what type of work we're gonna do and what to expect. But you guys can simply just email Taylor, my manager, at canineeducator@gmail.com. I'm pretty sure we're booking easily into the fall right now for the majority of my out-of-state stuff, because I really only like traveling on the weekends, unless it's for like a week job, like the things that I've done in the past. But anyway, so that's pretty much how that works, guys. And I just wanted to update you guys on everything that I've been doing. And the good news is I'm going to be home for a couple weeks, so I'm hoping to pop back on the podcast. And I still get messages every single day from people messaging me about the podcast and sending me their screenshots. If you guys send me a screenshot on Instagram, I always repost it, and I appreciate the love and support that the podcast provides to you guys. I really, really do. Couple other highlights and news in my life is YouTube is going crazy right now for us. We're putting a lot of content out on YouTube. That's primarily my content thing. So if you guys haven't yet subscribed to my YouTube channel, just look up Upstate Canine Academy in the search bar, subscribe, hit the notification bell. That basically will alert you when I upload anything new. We're close to, we should be able to hit 50,000 subscribers at the end of this month, which is really exciting because it's been a really hard climb to get there so far. And but that's where a lot of my content is. That's where the majority of, like, all my tutorials are. That's where you're going to find everything as far as dog training relates. And we're starting to get into a little bit more behind the scenes stuff, so a little bit more vlog-ish intertwined with information and tutorials, because we find that people kind of like seeing the behind the scenes of what makes, you know, how do these things happen? Because a lot of people, like, on Instagram, they just see the highlight reel. Nobody really sees the behind the scenes or some of the bad stuff. You know, like, if you guys have watched some of my vlogs about the flooding and stuff, I think it's entertaining to say the least. So if you haven't yet, you can check out my YouTube channel for all the most updates, and obviously on my Instagram at Tom Davis or at Upstate Canine Academy as well. Let's see. So that's pretty much what's going on in my life. I just haven't had time to sit down and do this, and I don't like to put out crap. I like to give you guys, like, a solid podcast so you guys can be entertained and informed. The No Bad Dogs merch is done. It is going to go live this week. So it is June 4th, 2019. This week, the No Bad Dogs t-shirts will be live. Once they sell out, we're going to order more. So you guys can find those links on my Instagram once they go live, which is exciting. I just haven't been in town for months to make this happen. So anyway, shout out to my team for holding everything down and doing a really good job. And then shout out to people who understand that when I'm on the road, it's really hard for me to help them in certain situations. You know, that was a really hard problem. A lot of people wanted to access me, like, immediately on the fly, like, right there and then. Why are you not answering me? I'm like, I literally, on my phone right now, I have 407 unread text messages, and the majority of those are just people who just, like, I just don't have the capacity to help everybody at all times, which is why I have a manager, which is why we're hiring, like, another assistant to just take over some of the inquiries that we're getting for my personal brand. Because basically right now, like, my dog training facility in upstate New York is its own identity, and then my personal brand is becoming another identity and another business, such as merchandise, podcasting, YouTube, seminars, workshops, in-house training, celebrity training, like, all this stuff is becoming different. And so as I get pushed and pulled of, like, staying grounded and being small-time dog trainer in upstate New York, and I love doing that and managing the business. There's also all of these international, national opportunities that people are like trying to get me to that. So we're trying to find a balance and we're trying to hit the ground running and really trying to keep up with everything. And even my trainers at the facility right now, you know, they're like 3 weeks out. And so we're probably going to hire another trainer soon. And, you know, there's, you know, like a guy came from Miami, Paul, shout out to Paul. He came from Miami to train for the weekend. And I just wasn't there because some of the contracts I have to get up and go at that moment. And so we're in the process right now, just so you guys know, cause I like to be as transparent as possible. And it's kind of like podcasting is kind of like my outlet, I guess. It's like my little, journal, if you will. And I'm so grateful for you guys listening. I appreciate it. But I just want to let you know what's going on. And so basically, like, that's what's happening is like my brands are becoming two different things. We definitely saw this coming and we are trying to prepare for it, but it is really, it's a really hard transition for sure, because it's just changing the entire business. As like, I don't even train at the facility that much anymore, except for my board and trains. And it's a hard thing for, I think, local people to understand. And it's even a hard thing for people that are traveling from, I mean, right now we have four dogs and every single one of them are not even on the East Coast. Like, they're not from here at all. And sometimes it's hard to explain to people, that they may not see me, they may not meet me, but I am going to be working with their dogs. And so we're trying really hard to navigate this path of transitional growth. And we also are doing a bunch of exciting things that I haven't even announced that are really going to change everything for us locally and nationally. So there's just so much going on. And I just wanted to hop on the podcast and just, I owe it to you guys, for those of you who just listen to what I do and like what I do and appreciate me, as an educator, I just wanted to update you guys on, what's been going on. And, you know, recently, as far as like dog training goes, recently, I've been really trying to just do the best I can to advocate for tools. And, that's pretty much like what I do, is advocate for tools. And some people get annoyed by that, because I just put out a lot of tool content, but I'm just passionate about it. I can't tell you, like, when somebody, like when I use a remote collar, an e-collar to train a dog or train a puppy, that literally has absolutely zero, 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 none, zilch, nada, negative effects and negative aversives, or positive aversives, any aversives on a dog. And it literally translates their life to be off leash and be free, and literally has no negative side effects at all. And people are still like online, like, you're cruel. And, you know, I can't, I literally just posted this thing on Facebook that has like a complete breakdown of exactly like what an e-collar is and how beneficial it is, and literally basically saying, like, if you disagree with remote collars used in a humane, non-aversive way, you are ignorant. You are completely ignorant to the fact of what it is. And not only you, but your dogs are suffering from the lack of ignorance that you have, because they're not going to progress. And I wrote this whole thing on literally like on Facebook, and people still don't get it. Like, they do not get it. I'm going to read you this quick thing that I wrote on Facebook, and then I'll let you guys go. But I just want to, like, I posted a video on like the difference between remote collars versus shock collars, which is so important, so valuable for people to understand. And so basically I said, hey guys, this is my new video. And this is for anybody who doesn't understand remote collars. And this is what I said. And I'll try to speed through this as fast as I can. Many dog owners are living in the past with saying such things as shock collars are bad. Quotes. We would agree. Using an aversive tool to correct your dog with no background of the tool and using negative associations will straight up freak your dog out. We have come so, so far with technology today. Why should our dogs be in the 50s? It makes no sense to us either. Click the link below to watch a full intro of the remote collar. This is a video I did yesterday. We see so many dog owners and trainers shy away from even talking about negativity about being able to control your dog wirelessly, etc. A lot of that, my friends, is dog owners not educating themselves about what the actual tool is. Anyone who has a problem with this tool, I can bet, has never utilized it or never used it, or if they have, it's been used wrong or in the past, and it's immediately wrote off. This tool has the ability to communicate with your dog up to a mile, in water, through walls, across the fields, etc. What if you could down the road, what if you could down your dog from a mile away for safety, or just smashing every competitive dog sport there is known to man due to the versatility, unmatched timing. Educate yourself. Dog owners, don't be afraid of new things, new approaches, and more importantly, do it for your dogs. They will love you more. Wink face. Now, it's not lazy, and no, it doesn't hurt your dog. Could it? Sure. But that's not how it's supposed to be, though. Anybody and anything can use a tool against its own practice. Ignorance sometimes can be bliss. However, when it comes to our dogs, ignorance holds your dog's full potential back. And I still, like, you know what I mean? Like, guys, like, you guys are with me. You're vibing with me. You get it. You understand it. You're shaking your head. You may have goosebumps. It's such a good thing. Like, I love that statement I just made. And I literally put in there, like, there's going to be people that are like, shock collars are bad, but it just means that they don't know what they're talking about. And literally within 5 minutes, I get a, ah, no, from an Antonio Luia, a 65-year-old lady holding her Dachshund with a bad selfie on like Facebook, who just like, the problem with that, guys, here's the thing that irks me the most. These people, so whatever you're doing and whatever, you know, whatever you believe in, like this Antonia girl, just for an example, literally has never trained a dog in her entire life, has never worked with a knee collar, has never seen a remote collar, has never seen any of these things. And she is on literally other people's accounts, such as myself, who I reach hundreds of thousands of people every week, educating them and helping them and passionately just trying to take over the world of just helping dogs. That's all I want to do. And you get her going, ah, no, 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 no. Lady, what the are you talking about? No what? And that's what I said. I said, no what? Her response was, I just don't like stuff like that when you can just train your dog without it. That's my opinion. Oh, my head just explodes. That's your opinion. Why don't you, Antonia, stay at your house, take your selfies with your dog, and stay out of like my feed? And see, the problem is like, I don't have a problem with this as long as she just stays in her house and doesn't keep saying stuff. But she's going out on public. I have like 30,000 likes on Facebook. So a lot of people are seeing this stuff. Ah, no. Ah, no what? Like, what are you talking about? I literally just said in this post, if you disagree, and I don't want to say like I'm a binary person of if you disagree with this, you're wrong. That's not right for me to say. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying like, take a second to watch this video and I will literally debunk every single possible thing you could say negatively about an e-collar. And I will also agree with you about all of the negativity that can come with it if used wrong. And still people are like, no, this is terrible. What are you talking about? Drives me completely mad. So as you guys know, I'm super passionate about this. We have some documentary type stuff, some TV stuff coming up. And I'm trying to just change the world's opinion on things that matter for dogs. These tools, these things save dogs' lives every single day. But yet there's people like politicians, like so many people from Europe and places like that that have banned these tools are proud of this. I'm like, you should be downright effing ashamed that your government has literally banned tools that help dogs. Literally, you guys should be utterly, painfully ashamed that these politicians who've never even touched a dog, never trained a dog, never held a dog, never worked with a dog, has never seen a dog euthanized, has never seen a dog attack, has never seen a dog hit by a car, has never seen a dog whine and cry because they're bleeding out inside because they just couldn't recall. These people have never seen what happens when it's like taking the wolves out of Yellowstone. We don't like wolves. We don't understand them. They kill. They're bad. No. Well, it completely effed up the entire ecosystem for like 55 to 60 years until they realized, oh shit, this is life-changing stuff. We were wrong. No crap. It's the same thing with these tools. It drives me crazy when people like say, like when I see somebody on my channel that says they're banned in my country, I'm like, you should be ashamed for even saying that. You should be downright just completely and utterly ashamed that you're letting politicians who've never touched a dog make decisions on your dog's life. You should be utterly ashamed, embarrassed. It's disgusting. It makes me sick. Politics should never be involved in dog politics. They don't get it. They don't understand. It's the same thing of like this. See, the thing is like we get this we get this government thing of like women, you know, men, you know, the men and, you know, the white men and the government shouldn't make rules about women's bodies. I completely agree. But it's the same concept. Is it's ideology and tribalism and politics of this is what a bunch of people think because they really don't know anything else and they're puppets and they're like, everyone's telling them this. So they just ban it or they just stop this or they just don't let things happen. And it ruins society and it ruins like the livelihood of the aspect of what they're actually making laws about that they really have no idea about. It's the same principle. The white men making decisions about women's bodies is the same decisions as politicians standing behind a podium making decisions and making laws about dog training tools and the aversive effects and all these different things because it makes no sense. And so when you comment on my page or you see somebody comment on my page of like, you know, these are banned where I'm from, it's like, yeah, but many places just allowed women to like show their skin. Like just because something's banned doesn't mean it's right. Marijuana's banned, and now look at people are going like, oh shit, like this stuff could really. Oh, let's start prescribe. Oh, this is natural. This is better. Let's start doing this. So just because shit's banned doesn't mean it's wrong, and doesn't mean it's right. You can't stand behind a bunch of politicians who have no idea what they're talking about banning something. Like that doesn't mean it's right or wrong. Like, no, it's the same thing again, like the people in South United States that are banning, abortion and things like that, that they have no right to do these things. And it's an uproar because people know about humans and they, you know, but the problem with the dog world is 95% of the pet population in the United States don't get dogs. They don't understand dogs. They don't have a well-trained dogs. They die of obesity. They die of gum decay, tooth decay, aggression, out of control. They drop them off at shelters. Don't let these people make decisions about dogs. They don't know what they're doing. What I would like people to do is really go to somebody's, not mine, anybody's page that has well-mannered dogs, has a success rate, has thousands and hundreds of five-star reviews, has 237 before and after videos on YouTube of clinical studies of things working. That's what we should start making decisions about. That's what we should start looking at. We shouldn't be sitting behind a computer screen, sitting behind a podium in politics, writing rules and laws about what dog owners should or shouldn't do. They have no clue. Why don't you study a practitioner? I have yet not to meet one single person that has commented on my stuff that has been able to do similar or the same results that I can with the stuff that I do. Not one. Not one. And when I have these battles with people, I say, show me. Show me. Send me videos. Send me the free content you're giving to millions of people to enjoy and to watch and to make better. But you want to disagree because of your tribalistic, idealistic ways about your opinion, about your dog. That doesn't matter. That doesn't make sense. That is ignorance at its finest. Ladies and gentlemen, I am signing off for today. Thank you so much for listening to the No Bad Dogs podcast. I truly do appreciate it. If you found value, if you found any type of this is good in this podcast, screenshot it on your phone, tag me on Instagram. I will repost you. I appreciate you guys so very much. Talk to you next time. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get tender USDA Choice value packs of T-bone steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon, limit 5. Then buy one, get one free on select varieties of Entenmann's, Wonder Bread, or Vita Coco Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.